Hello, beloved, and welcome to this evening's message on the book of Revelation, where we will be starting to look at the seven congregations to which seven letters that is directed at the seven congregations in Asia Minor. Now, this is Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to 7. Before we continue, though, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for the letters that we can read to the seven churches. And thank you for the ability to learn so much from these letters. Father, we pray, please enable us to understand so that at the end of the day, we will be able to discern and to see if these things apply to our own lives and the life of the church that we might be in. So that at the end of the day, Father, we might repent of those things that are wrong and that we can turn to you and incorporate and do those things which are right. Please, Father, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Let's just read verse 1 for now. Then we're going to look at the rest of the seven verses. Verse 1 says, "To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands." So, first of all, this identifies the author of the letter. Né? It tells us that the one that is saying these things, the one that is writing these things, or saying the things that are written down, are the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand. And we know that is Jesus Christ, né? Who holds the seven stars in his right hand, and the seven stars represents the seven angels of the seven churches. And these seven angels we've seen are basically the elders of the churches, the messengers of the churches that would take this amazing message from Jesus Christ and take it to the churches. And the churches then are basically the seven golden lampstands. But what is, once again, just what stands out is the fact that Jesus Christ walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. This means that Jesus Christ is with the seven churches. Now, I want you to understand the principle here. The principle is, when this letter was written, or these letters to the seven churches were written, Jesus says, and this is a revelation of Jesus Christ, né? And this revelation tells us that Jesus Christ was actually dwelling and walking in the midst of the seven churches that existed in Asia Minor at that specific stage. Okay, this basically means that Jesus Christ was present with his church. Remember, Jesus is the head of the church, and as the head of the church, he was literally present with his church. He was there. He was walking among the churches, so he was the one who could see everything that was happening within those churches. You would have members going on with the normal business. You would have the pastor preaching from the pulpit. You would have the churches doing their normal ministry things and whatever. And Jesus would be in their midst. He would be the one who would be looking and watching and seeing what was happening within these churches. And that's why he could give such a clear, direct account of what the churches looked like. And beloved, I've said it before, I just want to say it again, that these seven churches, remember, it's the number of completeness. It is the completeness of what the church will always look like. You will always find these aspects that Jesus that Jesus reveals within these seven churches. You will always find these elements in all the congregations throughout all the ages until Jesus Christ returns. And that is kind of this amazing thing about the seven letters, is when you read the seven letters, you can actually say, you know what? We can take these seven letters and we can see what applies to us as a congregation. And if there are things that applies to us as a congregation, then we need to listen to the way that Jesus acts towards the church, what Jesus said to the church, so that we then in turn can do what Jesus told the church, those churches to do, so that we can at the end of the day be delivered from the, whatever it is that we are doing wrong, so that we can be forgiven and at the end of the day be restored to the place where Christ wants the church to be, because He is the head of the church. He is the one who is walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. So Jesus identifies Himself immediately as the author of these letters. He is the one who basically shares it with the churches. Obviously, He's got His way of doing it, nah? Through the angel, through John, writing it down, and then sending it to the churches, to the messengers, to the elders of those specific churches. And then as it gets to the church, the elders would take it, and then they would take it and read it in the congregation, so that everybody will be able to hear what Jesus Christ, the head of the church, is saying to His church. Very important that we need to understand this. Now it says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write. So it identifies immediately, it's written, or how can I say, yeah, it's written, and it is then given to the angel of the church. And the angel, obviously, we know it's one of the elders, the messenger in the church. Most probably one of the elders could be the pastor of the church, right? But it's somebody that had the ability to take this message to the church with authority to do that, so that the church would then take it and then read it, okay, so that they can take notice of what is being said. Now, the first congregation is the church of Ephesus, okay, the church of Ephesus. Now, Ephesus, according to John MacArthur, was basically an island city 3 miles from the sea, okay, but the broad mouth of the river basically allowed access to provide the greatest harbor, basically, in Asia Minor. And what the result was that we had basically, or you had 4 great trade routes or roads that went through Ephesus. Okay? So it became known as the gateway to Asia. So you must just think about it. You have these 4 major routes or roads, trade roads that goes through Ephesus. So you're going to find all kinds of people there. People from all different cultures and nations and people groups and religions and all kinds of things. You will find them all in Ephesus, because it's got these 4 major roads, you know, trade roads that goes through Ephesus. Okay, so it's called the gateway to Asia, and it was the center of the worship of Artemis. Okay, that's in Greek, or Diana, the Roman goddess. And these temples of Artemis and Diana, they were one of the 7, or not the 2 temples, the 1 temple of Artemis, Diana, was basically one of the 7 wonders of the ancient world. An amazing building, absolutely amazing building. Now, something we need to know about Ephesus as well is that Paul ministered at Ephesus for 3 years. We read about it in Acts chapter 20, verse 31. And he later met with the Ephesian elders, nah, on his way to Jerusalem. We read about that in Acts chapter 20. And then another thing we need to know about Ephesus is that Timothy and Tychicus and the Apostle John basically all served this church of in Ephesus. Okay? And John was basically in Ephesus when he was arrested by Domitian and then exiled 55 miles southwest of to the Isle of Patmos. These are all things that we get to know and we get to understand about Ephesus. What I would like us to do, though, is I want us to quickly go to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 20, where the Apostle Paul speaks to the Corinthian elders. Okay, because I believe at the end of the day, what Paul says to the Ephesian elders is extremely important for us to understand this letter of the Apostle Paul. Now, we must remember the date on the book of Revelation is run about 95 AD. And because it's so late, it means that in the letter that the Apostle Paul, that John writes now, or Christ gives to the Ephesian church, we've had some time from the time that Paul spoke to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, to the point where in 95 AD, where quite a few things have happened in the church of Ephesus. Okay, because when Paul speaks to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, he's actually telling them what is going to happen in the future. And then when we read the letter that is written by Christ to the Ephesian church, Jesus actually warns them, listen, I'm going to remove your lampstand if you do not repent. So a few things happened within the Ephesian church. And most probably, the problem was that the elders took heed of what the Apostle Paul said. They definitely did certain things, and we're going to look at it. There's no two ways about it. I mean, they were hardworking. They couldn't tolerate wicked men, for example. They couldn't tolerate people who were false apostles. They actually hated the practices of the Nicolaitans. I don't know how to pronounce that word, actually. Nicolaitans, something like that. They hated their works, just like Jesus hates the works of them. But these are things that developed afterwards in Ephesus, and it crept into the church slowly but surely. But the Apostle Paul speaks to the Ephesian elders. All right, so now we're talking about quite a few years earlier, about, what is it, maybe about 30 years or so earlier, the Apostle Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders, and he tells them, because he was with them, he was in Ephesus, he knows them, and he speaks to them, and he says in verse 17, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And this is the Apostle Paul. He wants to speak to them now so that he can share a few things with them. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. And we know that the Apostle Paul had quite a tough time when he was ministering to the churches. Now, the Jews really persecuted Paul. I mean, so verse 20 says, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 22. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me. And we know after he was bound in Jerusalem, then he was taken to Rome. Now, so the Apostle Paul says, I know that I'm going to be bound now. I'm bound in the Spirit, which means he has to go. And at the end of the day, he doesn't know what's going to happen. We can read the book of Acts. We know what happens after that. All right. But he says in verse 23, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulation awaits me. And we know that the Apostle Paul went through quite a time in Jerusalem. And then afterwards, when he was on his way to Rome as well now. Verse 24 says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. What a prophecy, hey? So Paul knows that he was going to be bound up in Jerusalem. He was going to be, and the people in Ephesus, the elders of Ephesus, will not see him again. So he says in verse 26, he says, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. But that's quite a word of the Apostle Paul. So he declared the whole counsel of God to the Ephesian elders, to the Ephesian church, I mean. And the elders obviously heard all of it. And when he gave the church over into the hands of the Ephesian elders, he said, and here he says it to them, that he has not neglected to declare to them the whole counsel of God. Everything there is to be preached about who God is, the church, and all these kind of things, he preached all of that to the Ephesian church. Therefore, he says to the Ephesian elders, take heed to yourself and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And here comes the warning to the Ephesian elders. And this we need to see, very important. It says, take heed to yourself. Elders, you need to make sure that you look at your own lives. Now you need to examine yourself. Take heed to yourself and then also to the whole flock, because you've been made overseers by the Holy Spirit to shepherd the church. Okay? That church was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, by his own blood. You got to shepherd that church. You got to oversee it. You got to make sure that this church is healthy and stays healthy. Then he says in verse 29, and this is actually heartbreaking if you think about it, but this is a prophetic word from the Apostle Paul to the Ephesian elders, which we know came true when we read the book of Revelation. We know that this came true. He says, for I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. So there are people that's going to come into the church. And what they're going to do is they're going to be like wolves. But he calls them savage wolves. Nah? And these savage wolves will come in among the church. So they will come into the Ephesian church. Why is it possible? Because all these religious groups actually gathered in Ephesus. Nah? So it's very easy for people to take this trade route or the one another trade route or whatever. And these false people come from different places. And voila, they come to Ephesus and they come to the church. And they start bringing in their heresies and their false teachings and their doctrines of demons and all these kind of things. And what they do is they're not going to spare the flock. What they're going to do is they're going to try to destroy the flock of God because they are wolves. They're not God's people. Verse 30, the Apostle Paul says to them, also from among yourselves men will rise up. So not only will men come from outside, no, men will rise up from among yourself, from within the church. And what will they do? He says they will speak perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. They will speak things that are not in line with true biblical sound doctrine, that are not right, that are not the things that was revealed by the Apostle Paul and by the other apostles to the churches. All right? So these men will rise up from among yourselves. So Paul is saying, you got to watch out for people that comes from outside that's going to bring in all kinds of nonsense, all kinds of rubbish. There are wolves that are coming in. But even from among yourself, there are going to be men. And these men will rise up and they will speak all kinds of things that are not supposed to be spoken among God's people. And they will bring in things that are contrary to sound doctrine, sound teaching. So he says in verse 31, this is Paul now speaking to the Ephesian elders, and he says to them, therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Absolutely amazing. For 3 years with tears, the Apostle Paul says that he warned every one of them. Now he reminds them again. Okay, and we know later on in the book of Revelation that we are busy with now in this first letter, pardon me, to the Ephesian church that he says to them. We see that, for example, the Nicolaitans that came in, where they had to look after the, or how can I say, they had to kind of stand against wicked men. They had to stand against false apostles that wanted to come in and to destroy the church. So in a sense, they heard and they listened to the Apostle Paul, and they shared it with the other elders that came into the church, obviously. All right. So he says, watch, remember that I did not cease to warn every one of you that night and day with tears. Verse 32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. It's kind of this prayer of the Apostle Paul for the Ephesian elders, hey? I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourself know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And then they all wept freely and fell at Paul's neck and kissed him. What a word. Sorrowing, it says in verse 38, most of all for the words which he spoke that they would see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship. Wow, beloved. What words. What kind of words are we seeing here? Absolutely, absolutely amazing. Okay, now back to Revelation. So we see this is to the angel of the church of Ephesus. The Apostle Paul writes, and he specifically speaks to the church. Apostle Paul earlier spoke to the elders, and here the Lord Jesus Christ, through the messenger, sends a letter to the Ephesian church, that same church that Paul was in, speaks to them, tells them, he is the one, Jesus Christ is the one who holds the messengers in his right hand, in his hand of power, his hand of authority. That's where he keeps them. That's where he has them. He's the one who walks among the lampstands, the golden lampstands. And it is him who is looking at this church, and he is basically seeing what are the things that this church has that are good, let's call it positives, and what are the things that are negative. So what I want to do is to break it up into a few parts, and God willing, next week we're going to look at that. This week we're not going to look at it. I'm just laying some foundation now as we go into the seven churches. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at the positives that is said to the church. Then we're also going to look at the negatives that was said by Christ about the congregation. And then what we're going to do is we're going to look at what does Jesus say? How should the church fix the negatives? Okay, and if they do fix the negatives, what will then happen to them? All right, so those are the things that we are going to look at each one of these churches. What are the positives? What are the negatives? How can they fix the negatives? And what will happen if they do fix the negatives? And then obviously, in these seven churches, we also find churches that Jesus had nothing negative to say about them. We're also going to look at that and just see how Jesus responds and what Jesus says about these churches. For example, just a quick touch on one. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, Jesus says to the Ephesian church, he says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. Absolutely amazing. Why couldn't they bear those things which are evil? They couldn't bear those people who had evil intent, those who wanted to come in and cause problems within the church. Beloved, I believe it's because of what Paul told them. Paul told them there's going to be people that's going to come into the church and they will bring in all kinds of things. They are wolves, savage wolves. Which means Paul was actually telling this congregation, those people that are coming in are evil. They're very, very evil. Really, truly evil. All right, so Jesus looks at the church of Ephesus. He says to them, I can see all the beautiful, positive things, your works and your labor and your patience. We're going to look at that. Then he says, and I can see that you cannot bear those who are evil. Yeah, absolutely amazing. That's just one of the positives in the Ephesian church. Beloved, and I believe that all churches needs to be like that. So what we're going to do is we just take those positives, those things that Jesus says that he commends the church on, because Jesus is happy about those things. And those are the things that he wants to see in the churches. So we're going to look at those things and then see, okay, what do we do with them? In what way, how can we implement those things into our own congregation? And if you're not in Newcastle Baptist Church and you're listening to this, what can you do? How can you be an instrument in God's hands to implement what Jesus said to those churches? What can you do to implement in the congregation where Jesus Christ placed you? Okay? Exciting stuff, beloved. And remember, once again, we are busy with the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right? So what is happening here? We are seeing a revelation of what Jesus Christ expects from His church. What Jesus Christ expects His church to look like. That's what we're seeing. We are looking at the revelation of Jesus Christ, the head of the church, the one who moves around the churches, the one who has the messengers of the church in His right hand. We are looking at what He says about the churches and what He is happy with and what He is not happy with. What He is positive about and the things He is not positive about. We see all those things. And then He tells the church what He wants them to hear. And obviously, there's another thing. For those who persevere, those who stand the test that He or not the test, but those who do what is right and follows Christ and do the right thing and live the right way, there is this major promise every time that Jesus gives them. We're going to look at all these things. I hope you're excited as I am, beloved, because, wow, absolutely amazing to think about the fact that you and I have the privilege to read what the head of the church has actually revealed about any church that exists on the face of this planet, because aspects of every single church will be found in these seven churches, because it's the completeness of the church. The fullness of the church is explained in these seven letters. And we have the privilege to read it, to examine it, to find the truth of it, and then apply it to our own church, in our own congregations. What a privilege, beloved. So let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You. So amazing that we can look at these seven letters and hear from the head of the church, Jesus Christ Himself. Thank You so much, Father. Thank You that we have this privilege of hearing from Christ Himself. And thank You that we can take heed of these things. And I pray that You will make it ours, each one of the things that is being said, that we will embrace it and apply it to our own lives, Lord. And we will live what Christ expects from us. So at the end of the day, we can be in line with what You want in Your church. Oh, please, Father, I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Beloved, and it's my privilege to be the star, to be the messenger to the church. I'm a messenger now to the Newcastle Baptist Church. As we look at these seven churches, to say to the Newcastle Baptist Church, listen, beloved, let's see what are there in these seven letters that the Lord wants to say to us so that we can correct what needs to be corrected. Because that's the purpose why Jesus gave it to the messengers of the churches, so that the elders could take it to the church and then repent if it was necessary. Okay? And then implement things that were necessary. So as an elder, that's exactly what I intend to do, is to be an instrument in God's hands so that Christ Jesus can speak to us. And I hope that we are open specifically to hear from Him. Not from me, from Him. God willing, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you His peace. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.